Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Home."
Oh,
Sound Doctrine broadcast coming to you live. We've got Sister Joanna Woody with us this evening. Sister Marilyn, it's the Women's Christian Broadcast, Ladies Christian Broadcast this evening. I hope that you brought your Bibles, ladies, and you're ready to have an experience that's spiritually enlightening that'll glorify Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pray you right in, and we'll get you started right up because we're a little late getting started. We had some technical difficulties, and we apologize. And so, Father God, I ask you in your Son Jesus' name, Lord, that you would bless this program tonight, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, that you would bless Sister Joanna and let nothing come from her that's of her flesh, Lord. And God, that you would bless us listening audience and touch their hearts and open their spiritual ears and their spiritual eyes and give them a teachable spirit and help them to be reminded of things that they forgot and to be given spiritual enlightenment, Lord, that will help them to walk a better walk in their Christian lives, not only this week, but for the rest of their Christian lives. And I thank you, Holy Father, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Sister Joanna.
Okay, sir. Thank you. It's good to be back. It's been a while, and it's good to be back. Miss Marilyn, you good?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Everything good with you guys?
Yes, everything's good.
Okay, you back in your house yet?
Oh, yes, and everything's looking good, and it's working good, and praise Jesus, I'm blessed.
Amen. It was good to be back home, I know. Well, I love you, and I thank you for getting to be back with you tonight. I'm in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and South Carolina is my home state, so it's good to be around, quote-unquote, my people again, and it's been a wonderful visit. A friend of mine came with me, and we've just had a wonderful day. Just yesterday we got here and then got out some today, so got one more day. We're going to hear the Tallies. I don't know if you know that singing group, the Tallies. But they're here. Yeah, they're real good. We're going to get to hear them tomorrow night, and then we go back home Saturday. So needed a couple of days away, so this has been a good time. I forgot to bring the next lady that we'll look at in May, so it'll be a surprise. This one I gave, I don't know if people remember because it's been so long, but this is the Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15. Verses 22 through about 20. So if you have your Bibles and would like to turn there, Matthew 15, 22 through 28. And we'll look at this lady, really, really interesting woman. Not much about her, but she can teach us a lot. So I pray that as we look at this, it'll be a blessing to you. It'll increase your faith and cause you, I pray, to see what just a little bit of faith can, the change, just this almost a morsel of faith that this great lady pointed out to us, what it will do for you and your family. So if you'll join me in reading. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out to the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And that word dogs there, let me check my meaning here, 26. I think it means just Gentiles, if I'm not mistaken. I'll get it and before we're done and give it to you. So it's a... And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The problem with the Canaanites and the Israelites started way back in Exodus when the children of Israel came back from the captivity in Egypt, and the Canaanites were a wicked people who worshipped a variety of heinous false gods, and they even did entice some of the Israelites to join in that worship and led them away from their trust in Jehovah God. The name of their gods were Baal and Molech, and they had horrible worship services, religious prostitutes, and offered children to these idols. And we know that God hates any kind of idol worship and didn't want Israel distracted or deceived by this evil worship. His command to drive the Canaanites from the land was his judgment on their completely evil ways. And yet 1,000 years in Jesus' time, this animosity still colored their relationship. Even then, there were some of these Israelites who lived in the land, but only on the outside, on the fringes of the area. So that was a little bit of history about that, the way the disciples treated her. And as we look at this lady with the sick child, I pray, give some remarks that will help us to identify. I don't know about you, but when my son was sick, that was some of the worst times of my life. So I can only imagine a mother who has a daughter that's demon-possessed, the confusion that it must have caused in the home, and probably these people hadn't had a peaceful day since this demon had possessed this girl. And this mother, in her desperation, knowing her position in Israel as being an outcast, still approached Jesus. Now, Jesus was about 40 miles northwest I can't think of the name of the city right now. But he was close to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. He was outside of Jerusalem, about 40 miles northwest into this Gentile country. And he took the disciples there probably for rest to get away from the crowd, but there was one woman there who recognized him, this dear Canaanite mother. And the conversation between them, it seems that Jesus is being very, very rude to her. But let's take it apart a little bit, if you will, and look at some of what made her faith great. There's only two times in the scripture where Jesus remarks about someone with great faith. Both of these people were not Jewish people. One was in Matthew 8:10, and I know you'll remember that, the Roman centurion that came to Jesus to heal his servant. And he told Jesus to come with him, and Jesus said, he said, no, you don't have to come, you can just speak. And Jesus marveled at his faith, that he believed that Jesus commanded distance. He had command over distance and could speak healing to somebody who was not in his presence. And Jesus said of him, I hadn't seen this great faith, no, not in Israel. This was a Roman centurion. And then here's this Canaanite woman to whom he makes the same remark. So I wanted us to look tonight at what makes great faith. Where do we find great faith? The first thing we see that it's found in unlikely people. And sometimes that could be us. Have you ever found yourself on the outside maybe of a group that you just don't feel like maybe you're as good as them, or you don't belong, that kind of thing? They are more talented, all of those things. Sometimes we think of people that are better than us. But great faith is found in people like that, unlikely people. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 27, and I'm paraphrasing, if you will, it says that you see your calling is not according to the flesh, it's not mighty, that the mighty are not called the noble, but God has chosen the foolish of this the things of this world to put shame to the wise. So it's great faith is found in unlikely people. My advice would be, and I pray it will be well taken, is just quit wishing you were someone else. Quit pretending you're someone else. Just know who you are, really. There's only one thing you need to know, and that brings us to this next point of great faith. It's always placed in Jesus. This woman, this Canaanite lady, had learned something that a lot of people around Jesus had missed. She knew, I pray like we do, that Jesus was her only hope. Psalm 27 says that some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. People who think that they are deserving or that their own strengths will help them don't display great faith in Jesus. Romans 12:3 that says God has given to every man that a measure of faith, and I think that measure is Jesus. It's not only just faith that she had, but great faith. And that word great means impressive, grand, big. So this lady came to Jesus with this great faith. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers and flowers fail, but the word of God stands forever. And she knew that if she could get him to speak the word of healing, that his word would stand and it would heal her daughter. The next thing we see in her that made her faith great was her persistence. This is an interesting point here. Her persistence is incredible. As we look at her, the disciples had said, you know, send her away. They had already rejected her. And Jesus even seemed to tell her to go away when he said, I'm not sent to the house of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This woman displayed her belief in Jesus. She even used a Jewish phrase when she addressed him, when she said, O Lord, thou son of David. She was telling Jesus that she knew something about him, and she recognized who he was among his own people, and he had people of his own race that didn't recognize him. So this lady let Jesus know that not only did she just know him personally, but she knew him to be who he was, the King of the Jews and the Son of David, and recognized that he was the eternal one that would sit forever on the throne of David, which was remarkable. And the Bible says when she said that, he didn't answer her. But her persistence revealed a sign of two qualities, that she was aware of her need, and she was aware that he had the available supply, if you will, for her need. Remember when Jesus spoke to the lady at the well and said to her, if you knew who it was that said to you, you'd have this living water. Then Jesus even gave a parable concerning persistence in Luke chapter 18, 1 through 8. We're going to look at this for just a minute. This is another remarkable story of persistence. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust saith, unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find such faith on the earth? For a long time, I didn't really understand that parable, because it seemed like that the judge just wanted to get rid of this woman. But this woman that came to him continually displayed these two qualities that we just spoke here of the lady in our story tonight. This woman expressed the awareness of her need, and she also expressed her awareness of this judge to meet that need. He was the one who could meet her need, and she didn't let up until he gave her an answer. And Jesus is saying, if we are aware, as this woman is, of our need, and come before our God who has the supply available for us, won't he will also meet our need. And that was her persistence was not met with a negative answer. Will he find, Jesus is saying in that, will he find faith on the earth out of this Luke 18 account? Will he find people who are persistent, people that know we need him enough and we know him enough, we know that he has what we need, that we will keep on asking? That's the two qualities of our willingness to be persistent, to know our need and to know that he has the answer for it. We look at another reason her faith is great as we see her worship him. Great faith is characterized by worship. When she was refused, when Jesus refused her that first time, look at verse 25. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She did not give up, and in her praise here, it praise is expressed in two forms, thanksgiving and worship. Thanksgiving is a response to a gift, and worship is a gift. Thanksgiving is sometimes, but worship can be anytime. Remember, Jesus said we worship him in spirit and truth. We can worship anytime. Thanksgiving is based in what he has done, and worship is based in who he is. Anyone can offer thanksgiving, but worship can only come from a faith. Even people who are not Christians can be thankful, but they can't worship. Worship comes because of our faith. And Jesus said that true worshipers will come, worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and God's looking for people such as that to worship him, John 4:23 says. So we see that her faith is characterized based on her need in Jesus. Her faith was demonstrated by her persistence, because she was aware that he of her need, this daughter being sick, and she was aware that Jesus could meet that need. And we see in her another wonderful characteristic, that great faith is humble. When Jesus called her a dog, she did not deny. She said, that you say the truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She saw the plentiful table that the Jews had received from knowing and learning of God through the ages, through the hundreds of years. They had access to writers who had told them of God. She saw that table, if you will, of generosity to them from God. And she said, I don't want at all some of what you have. There again, this goes back to our first point, that faith is found in unlikely people. We as saved people recognize we don't deserve it, His grace. It wouldn't be grace if we deserved it. We recognize that we can't position ourselves. We can't put ourselves in a place to deserve God's mercy and grace. And Jesus said it's not good to give the children's bread. It means it's not fair to do that. But this is one of the reasons the early writers of the New Testament wanted us to understand the difference between faith and works. We don't, our faith is not earned by works. We don't, God, it's earned, or God gives His grace. We can't work. There's not enough work we can do. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, that wonderful description of grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could do it, we could brag about it. Tell you this, if we could do it, it'd be undone as fast as we did it. So grace, we are saved by grace through faith. Her persistence and even her worship didn't earn God's favor. They are simply a product of the faith that was at work in her. And Jesus recognized that faith, that she knew she had this great need to have her daughter healed. And she was saying to Him, I know that you can do that. And by that, she let Jesus know of her great faith in Him. Then she displayed this great faith is revealed by our attitude toward our request. This woman was asking Jesus to do the greatest miracle of all, a salvation for a Gentile, no less. And she called it a crumb. Sometimes our troubles, our problems seem so great, but it's really the way we see them. We focus on them too much. Remember in Isaiah 14:16, where it says, they that see thee, talking about Satan, shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Why did the devil seem so small there? It was because for the first time we see him as he stood under the throne, that great throne of God. That's one of the reasons we need to keep our focus on Jesus. There's a wonderful verse in Psalm 34:3 that I just love. It's come to mean a lot to me lately. It's on our children's at the church. Someone painted a beautiful scroll, and it has Jesus with a lamb standing by that scroll. And on it is written these words, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And two words in there are just wonderful. Magnify means to enlarge, to increase, to amplify, to expand, to heighten. So that says, let's magnify, let's enlarge, let's make God look big. Amplify him, and let us exalt his name. And that word means, exalt means to promote or to elevate, to intensify, to revere, to sing the praises of. Let us sing the praises of his name. Let us revere his name. Let us exalt. Let us intensify his name together. For this woman, that spread on the master's table made her request look like just a little crumb. She said, I don't need it all. I just need a little bit. And Jesus marveled that she didn't come greedy. She didn't come boastfully. She came just asking for whatever he would give her, because she had a huge need, and she knew that he was a great healer. She knew who he was, and knew that he was the only one that could help her. First Corinthians 2:9-10 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered to the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit." She saw in her spirit what God could do for her and her daughter. Some of us tonight, as we look at this lady, look at this story, we look unlikely. We look undeserving. But I pray that you're beginning to see what maybe others are missing, that your need is great, and Jesus is the one who can, who is aware and has the ability to and the supply to meet your need. And I pray that you'll see that he has so much and he is so much. And when you look at all that, you're beginning to see that your need is not so great. It's not as great as your awareness of his power to meet that. I pray that that will be said of us. As we look at this and close it tonight, in developing our faith, let's think of these things. Everyone who has a need is not automatically eligible for that. Unless we repent, unless we turn to the Lord, unless we recognize how great our need is and turn to him, he is the only one who can meet every need. In Philippians 4:19, "My God can supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus." God hears the voice of the repentant. Jesus heard the voice of this lady as she worshiped him, as she recognized who he was, even though she had been rejected by his disciples. She did not walk away. She knew her need was great. She knew that he could meet that need. Another thought here for her life, or for what we learned for her: persistence with wisdom is a powerful tool. Just being a nag can get you in trouble, but persistence means you never give up. You never forget how great the need is. You never forget how great God is to meet that need. As this lady, when Jesus spoke to her, she agreed with him. And speaking God's truth is greater than speaking our opinion. So she, in her recognition of who Jesus was, and in her persistence, in her knowing the need was great in her life, knowing that Jesus had the resources and the power to meet that need, she persisted. And as we see at the end of this story here, Jesus granted her petition. Her faith was great. She didn't know how it was going to end, except that she knew that if she persisted, he would help. And she was not willing just to take a no, even when the disciples tried to turn her away. She did not want to leave. And she was willing to approach Jesus. She was willing to come to him. She was willing to recognize her position before him as she presented this need for her daughter. And she worshiped him. Worship is due only to God. And Jesus received that worship because he is God. And Jesus said to her, "Let it be as you desire." When we ask, seek, and knock, we trigger God's response to our petitions. Pray tonight. These thoughts have been a help to you. And I want to remind all of the ladies who are listening, sometimes we're judged by things we can't control. Sometimes our where we live, how much money we make, our titles. There are a lot of women who are unmarried who would like the title Mrs. before her name, because sometimes that seems as though the world, we're looked on a little differently when we're married. But just want to say that those things do not tell who you are. Your identity is not found in those things. This woman tonight was, she was a Gentile, should not have received this favor from the Lord, and yet she was persistent in her need to get it. God doesn't have a grade on the curve. His grid is grace. He loves the world, red, yellow, black, and white. All of us are precious in His sight. From the one whose capacities are simple and scarred to the beauty and the scholar, we're all created in His image. We bear His, because of that, you have great worth. And the Lord wants you to know that tonight. There's no he doesn't hold any special privileges for anybody. I pray tonight that you'll receive or choose to receive His gift. Believe in Him. You're desperate without Christ, and you're lost without receiving His offer of salvation. I pray tonight that you'll choose this beautiful, fulfilled life that He offers to you, that you'll admit that sin debt that we can't do anything about. Turn to Christ and let Him, as this lady did tonight, let Him relieve your, but He is the one that has the power to forgive and give you great value in your life. So I pray tonight, as we have looked at this lady, that she'll make a difference in your life. And there's some things I would like to, what we should remember, what every woman should remember. Be kind. Everyone you meet is probably struggling with something just like we are. When I'm out like I am now and go to restaurants and eat out more than I do when I'm home, I'm always reminded of these waitresses that come to me. You never know what condition they've left home in, a sick child or maybe a husband who's unemployed, and things that she has no control over and has to be there serving people all day. And I pray that to her and to others we would be kind as Jesus was kind to this lady, met that need. Remember this, something better is coming after this life. As a believer, you and I have the joy of heaven. If you're not a believer, I pray tonight that would be the desire of your heart, to love the Lord, to give your life to Him, to give your heart to Him, and let Him do what He came on this earth to do, to save lost sinners. So I pray that you will do that. Another thing that I'd love to encourage the women tonight to do, and thing I do, and I wish I could say I did it regularly, but I do it when I think of it, and I need to do it more. But just sit down sometime and write your gratitude to the Lord for the many blessings that He's given you. I've done that and went back and just been reminded of His goodness to me through the years. And I pray that you'll do that. Take some time to pin your gratitude to Him and thank Him for what He's done for you. And then I would like to remind you that God's promises that He's always with you and that He will always love you. And I've really learned that since my husband passed away. I've recognized His presence. I've appreciated His provision, the way He's provided, met every need, and let me know through the love of friends and through the care of people around me that how much He does care. So I pray tonight, Miss Marilyn, and to all the ladies who are listening, that this has been a blessing to you. And again, I forgot to bring my the next lady, so that'll be kind of a surprise next the third Thursday in May. I don't have the date here, but it'll be the third Thursday in May. So I will pray us out, and I love you and appreciate so much this opportunity to get to teach, and I pray this lesson tonight, this wonderful lady, that we learn from her. Great faith is found in unlikely people. Great faith is always placed in Jesus. Great faith demonstrates persistence. Great faith is characterized by worship. And great faith is humble. I pray
Amen to that, sister.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll close this out, okay?
Okay.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this wonderful lady, Father, who did not give up, who, even though she was refused and rejected by your disciples, she did not quit pursuing. She did not quit asking and seeking you, knowing the great need that she had in this sick child, and how her heart must have bothered as she would see this demon hurt and wound her child, and she was helpless before it. But she recognized your great power, that you had the power over that in her daughter, and would not let go, would not leave you until she got an answer. Thank you for what her faith taught us tonight, God. You are not a respecter of persons. You love all people. And I pray tonight, if there's a lady that's listening that has any issue, God, that she feels like is overwhelming, that you'll flood her heart with peace, that you will meet that need in her life and let her know that you are God, the very God of heaven and earth, and you can meet every need. As Jeremiah reminds us, you are the Lord God. There is nothing too hard for you. So we lift this program to you tonight. Pray that it's been a blessing and will speak peace to the ears of the hearer. Thank you for Brother Peter and Sister Marilyn, and I pray that you use their work and increase their witness and bless them, Father, with every meeting, every need. And let them be a shining light in that community for Jesus. We bless you, for you are good, Father. You are great. You made heaven and earth. And we recognize you as our creator. We recognize you as our savior. You are all powerful. There is none like you. And we love and bless and praise you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, sister. Thank you. That was wonderful.
Thank you, hon. I love y'all, and I'll be praying, and I'll be in touch, okay?
Amen. Pastor, you want to say anything? Pastor Vincent?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Joanna. Good to hear you teach again. We certainly missed you, and we love you.
I love you, too. The phone keeps kind of clicking, and I thought I'd lost you one time, and I guess it's just the way it is. But, yeah, I love y'all, too, and I'll keep you posted about the move and all that, but nothing's happening right now. So I think I'm pretty settled until August. So just pray that I find a buyer and do the thing the Lord would have me do.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Go
all right.
Lord bless you, Mr.
Thank you.
Keep in touch.
I will. Thank you, Brother Peter. Love y'all.
We love you, too. Okay, Brother
Bye-bye.
Nathan, it's yours. Bye-bye.
Love you, Brother Nathan.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the You have called me to this passage, and I follow
Thank you.